Today's passage is taken from Isaiah 23, verses 3 to 8. On the great waters came the grain of the Shihor. The harvest of the Nile was the revenue of Tyre, and she became the marketplace of the nations. Be ashamed, Sidon, and you, fortress of the sea, for the sea has spoken. I have neither been in labor nor given birth. I have neither reared sons nor brought up daughters. When word comes to Egypt, they will be in anguish at the report from Tyre. Cross over to Tarshish. Wail, you people of the island. Is this your city of revelry, the old, old city whose feet have taken her to settle in far-off lands? Who planned this against Tyre, the bestower of crowns, whose merchants are princes, whose traders are renowned in the earth? This is the word of the Lord. You may be seated.
Okay. Okay. It's a good way to get people's attention to start your sermon. Good morning, everybody. Good morning. Start my timer here. Make sure that I will not preach more than 2 hours. Today, if we want to transport goods, the most economic way would be through rails. And in Canada, we have CNR, CP, smaller rail company. Or we can transport goods by trucks, cars. And if it's a really expensive Amazon Prime, maybe by airplane. So there are many ways to transport bigger items, cars, by ship. But in the older days, there are not that many roads, no rail, trains, no trucks. So most of the transportation of goods are through shipping. So if a city wants to be important, have lots of people coming to do trades, has to be a coastal city. So we go to Europe, so there are many cruises that you can go, and you see all these beautiful cities, you know, they all built right on the coast, facing the sea. So today we're going to look at, the city of Tyre, from Isaiah 23. From Isaiah 13 to 23, a prophet Isaiah has been prophesying, speaking against 10 cities, nations: Babylon, Philistine, Moab, Egypt, and number 10 today, we're going to look at Tyre. And the city of Tyre and the destruction of this city fulfilled not only the prophecy in Isaiah 23, but also in the prophet Ezekiel. And some of the prophecy that's fulfilled is just spectacular. So from reading, learning how these prophecies are fulfilled, we can just once again be amazed. Our God is in control. He knows things. Everything is in His hand. So the city of, I got a map here. So as you know, the city of Tyre and Sidon. Sidon is the sister city. So Tyre is at the coast. So Tyre has a mainland part, and then there's a little island, a few hundred meters, I think it's 800 meters, off the coast. We cannot see it, like a little dot. Kind of a little bit like Kowloon and Hong Kong. So it's as a main city on the main, a city on the mainland, and then one on the on the island. And in those days, during Isaiah's time, it's a very famous maritime trade, shipbuilding, and a lot of the luxury goods are being going through that little, it's not a big city, little city. So the city accumulated a lot of wealth. So Isaiah 23, 2 and 4 say that the merchants of Sidon, this is the city right next to Tyre, messengers, there are a lot of people going through this city, kind of like Vancouver, Singapore, and were on many waters. The grain from Nile, the harvest of the river, was her revenue. So it gained a lot of wealth by being the trading center. But today, to be an important, wealthy city in the world is more than just trading oil goods, but also stocks, finance. Right? Hong Kong has basically nothing except it's a financial center. So from that accumulated a lot of wealth. And she was the market of nations, stronghold of the sea. So stronghold of the sea here is not only describing the military strength power, but also is financial power, like London, New York, the Dow. So it's a very wealthy, important city. And this tile has been described in the Bible, not just in Isaiah, in the book Isaiah, but also in Ezekiel, First King. So in many books, even in the New Testament, this city was mentioned. So it's a very important and has a lot of meaning in this city. And this city is very wealthy. In the book of Ezekiel actually describes a lot more about this city. Abundance of all kinds of wealth, not just certain kind of wealth, not just the trading lumber or minerals, but all kinds of wealth, silver, iron, tin, lead, ivory, epondi. So I Google, what is this? It's a kind of a black wood. It's called a $1 million tree. It's a very expensive tree. Even today you can buy it. It's of a black color. It's very rare. So I checked it out. It costs about $100 US per board foot, or $10,000 per kilogram. So it's even today it's a very expensive wood. It's an abundance of goods, abundance of all kinds of wealth. Why? White wool. So this is a city that has a lot of things. So I counted from Ezekiel chapter 27, the whole book, whole chapter of Ezekiel 27 is talking about all these different countries, nations trading with tile. So I list out all the goods that's going through this city: trees, cedar, oak, ivy, linen, silver, lead, bronze, horses, all kinds of items. It's almost like Canada. If you remember the sermon I spoke on, Canada have all kinds of resources here. So tile has all kinds of goods trading through it. And it's also a very happy city. Well, when you have money, then you can be happy, right? It gets all kinds of wealth. And whose origin is from antiquity. That means it's an old city, right? It has a lot of history, culture in it. Crowns, princes, honor people, a lot of dignitaries, important people visiting this city. It's kind of like Paris. We went to Paris last month. You see people from all different countries emerging in Paris, visiting this beautiful city. So tile has almost everything that a city, a country wanted. And then this city, the nation, become proud of its wealth. Thus said the Lord, O tile, you have said, the tile have said, they have said, I am perfect in beauty. We are so beautiful here, our city. Your borders are in the heart of the seas. Your builders have perfected your beauty. So there's no proud of their success. Your heart was lifted up because of your beauty. You corrupted your wisdom by reason of your splendor. Wealth makes people proud of himself. I work hard. I am smart. So I accumulated all this wealth. And then people start putting his security, power, trust in material things, in earthly wealth, just like Tyre. And then they start to think that we don't need God anymore. Why do we need God? God is not going to help with our finance. We can do it ourselves. We build this ourselves. For the ones who, a lot of us, our parents, maybe not you, from Hong Kong. When I left Hong Kong, it was a very poor little country, city. Now, it's one of the wealthiest, if not the wealthiest, in Asia. And when you have wealth, then you are proud of yourself. Then you do not need to rely on God. We just say ourselves, when everything is possible, we don't pray anymore, isn't it? You only pray when you are in trouble. When you have a challenge with your finance, with your relationship, then you pray really hard. When you need a job, when your bank is running out of money, then you pray really hard. Because your heart is lifted up and you have said, I am a God. I sit in the seat of God, in the heart of the sea. Yet you are a man and not God, prophet. Ezekiel here, scolding the people of Tyre. I am God, meaning that I do not need to look up to rely on God anymore. I trust myself. For the multitude of your iniquities, in the unrighteousness of your trade, you profaned your sanctuaries. Not only that they do not rely on God, they think that they are God themselves. They even despise God, profane your sanctuaries. When we were young, when we were a student, we worked hard, and then we pray real hard, isn't it? And when I started off working, I prayed to God. My job doesn't make me a lot of money. And as a new graduate, I had to rely on God to help me to go through. Whenever I go to a restaurant, when I look at the menu, I always look at the right-hand side first, right? Before I look at the left-hand side. Look at which one is the cheapest. You start from, too bad in those days, you cannot filter it, you know, by price. I mean, it's at least have a menu by price. Right? So when you are starting off, you don't have a lot of money. You rely on God. But as slowly as we are more financially stable, we rely on ourselves. We do not need to pray to God. Are we people like that? Today, the countries I did a study this week, all the countries that see a decline in their Christian faith are the well-developed, wealthy Christian countries, starting from Europe. I got a list here. Projection by 2050 by Pew, which is a Christian organization. Oh, that's not the one. Okay. I did not print that one out. Okay, I read it to you. Here. From 2010 to 2020, they did a study. They listed the top 10 countries that have a decline in Christianity, in people going to church. Started off in the top is Australia, minus 20 points, followed by Chile, Uruguay, Canada, we're on the list again, number four, yeah. USA, UK, France, Spain, Sweden, Netherlands, Germany, Italy, all the wealthy countries. And then you say, why is Chile on here? Is Chile a wealthy country? Yes. Chile is one of the wealthiest countries in the Latin America because they produce 20% of the copper in the world. Did you know that? They have the largest copper reserve at the present production rate. They can produce copper for the world for the next 100 years. Because of the copper, they are the second wealthiest country in Latin America. Their GDP is about 30,000 US adjusted to PPP. So it's one of the wealthiest countries in the Latin America, may not compare to North America. So you see that Descartes, in Christianity, all these countries, they have wealth. Wealth divert people from trusting in God. But on the other hand, so I look up which are the countries that they see a growth in Christian faith. Zambia, Malawi, Uganda, I can't even read it, Tanzania. All these countries are not on your next vacation list, isn't it? I don't think anyone planned to visit this in your next vacation. But all these poor countries, they're seeing an explosion in their faith. Wealth divert us from God. So this is what the prophet here is warning or prophesizing about the future of Tyre. Tyre will be destroyed. With all house, they will lose their harbor. They will become nothing. The Lord of hosts has planted it to defile the pride of all beauty, to despise all the honors of the earth. Overflow your land like the Nile. O daughter of Tarshish, there's no more restraints, no more control. The cities will be out of control. They will see war. They will be destroyed. In fact, they will be, the Bible said that they will never be rebuilt again. Such a powerful, powerful, strong city, nation, they will disappear. Well, today we still have Tyre, but it's no longer the financial center of the world. Behold, the land of the Chaldeans. This is the people which was not. The Assyrians appointed it for desert creatures. Here Isaiah is making a prophet here. It's not the Assyrians at that time, and when this book was written, the Israelites were under the threat of the Assyrians. The Assyrians just taken the northern country, Israel, and the southern part is in fear of the Assyrians. But then Isaiah, he is making a prophecy here. It's not the Assyrians that will invade you. In fact, they themselves will be disappeared. It's the Babylonians, which still not even heard of when this book was written. What a wonderful, wonderful prophecy Isaiah is making here. It's only 100 years later, 100 years later, the Babylonian will invade Tyre. And the prophet, I just want to show you this. There are two parts to the tile. One is the mainland part and the island. And then in 586 BC, the Babylonians attack Tyre. They try to take the city, but they fight for 13 years. They took the mainland part, but they cannot. They cannot take over the island. The island, because it's in the middle of the sea, and they don't have the navy to invade this island. And then the people from Tyre, they just ship all their wealth to the island, and then they were safe. So they gave up after 13 years. It's a long war. After 13 years, the Babylonians gave up. They destroyed the mainland Tyre, but they cannot take this island in the middle of the sea. So they just gave up. So Tyre have some peace, kind of, but they were destroyed. No longer a strong trading center. And it fulfilled the prophecies in Ezekiel and Isaiah. And then Isaiah, the prophet Isaiah, continued to prophesy that now in that day, Tyre will be forgotten for 70 years, like the days of one king. At the end of 70 years, it will happen to Tyre as in the song of the harlot. Take your harp, walk about the city, O forgotten harlot, pluck the strings skillfully, sing many songs that you may be remembered. So Isaiah is prophesying that after 70 years, you will rise once again, but you still like a prostitute. You're just making money for your physical enjoyment, not a spiritual revival. Now, these 70 years, the Tyre will be revived to some extent, has different interpretations from different theologians. So I'm not trying to do a Sunday school class here, but the historical interpretation is that this 70 years is actually 70 years. So the interpretation, how do you get 70 years? So we look at the rise of Babylon is 605, between 605 to 609 BC, and the empire ended in 539 to around 530. So if you add 605 and 609 divided by 2 minus 539 plus 530 divided by 2 and you get what? About 72. So you get 72. Wow. So that's what the Bible, Isaiah says, 70 years. So after 70 years, that's one interpretation. Right? After 70 years, Tyre sort of gets some belief. So once again, they become a trading. But the Bible, some of the Bible prophecies have not been fulfilled because Ezekiel prophesies that this city will be destroyed, totally destroyed. But that has not happened yet. They will destroy the walls of Tyre and break down her towers, and I will scrape the debris, form her and make her a bare rock. That means the whole city, all the walls will be torn down. That haven't happened yet. Because when you invade a city, you don't take down the walls, right? People, the countries invade China, they don't take down the long wall. They just invade and take the wealth and the people. You don't take down the walls, a lot of wealth. So the Babylonians never took down the city in the mainland. They just took the wealth and killed the people. And she will be a place for the spreading of nests in the midst of the sea. For I have spoken, declares the Lord God, and she will become spoil for the nations. The people will be killed. This has not fulfilled yet. And this prophecy was fulfilled 250 years later when Alexander again come and try to take over Tyre, this city on the island. And he also had problem because he cannot, doesn't know how to fight a war in the sea. So they have trouble in taking Tyre as well, like the Babylonians. But Alexander is a lot smarter. So he took down the old walls from the mainland, all the rocks, and then he built a little highway to reach the island, make it a peninsula. So he took down all the walls from the old city and just built a mole to the Tyre island. And then it only took him 7 months to take over the city. And today you can see that connection, the land, the mole, I guess you call it the mole, still there. And we look at the Google map, you can see the old Tyre and the Tyre island, and this is actually from Google, how the two is actually connected. And when Alexander invaded the city, of course, all the wealth are there. They kill 8,000 soldiers, basically kill all the soldiers, and took away 30,000 people as slaves. And the city is totally destroyed. Today we still have a tile, we can still go and visit tile, but it's no longer the same importance as it was during Isaiah's time. The prophecy is fulfilled. So from this prophecy here, it tells us that a wealth, not a tile, such a important, a major trading city, but God has in control. When people have wealth, they turn away from God, and God will punish them. God controls history. It may not be in our timetable. We may say that, no, how come this have not happened yet? How come all this unrighteousness still going on? But God has His time. He's in control. When the prophet Isaiah made the prophecy, he did not even, the Babylonians have not even rise up yet. Never mind Alexander. But all these prophets are fulfilled. So today we have to learn that we have not, don't put your trust in wealth. Put your trust in God, in relationship. Relationship is more important than money, than wealth. The relationship with God is the most important. And I want to tell a story to end my sermon. I wonder how many of you have read this novel. It's an old novel, printed in the 19th century, first published in 1861. It's a novel called The Silas Manor. Who had read this story? Linda. Okay, someone actually read this. And it's a really good story. It's about in the 19th century, when spinning wheel, weaving, is still a major industry that people will sometimes work from home to weave, and they still use the spinning wheels, still very popular at the time. So there's a man called Silas Manor, and he lived in a small town, in an isolated town by himself, and he has a history, a background. Something happened to him when he was young that made him become such a grouchy old man, doesn't want to connect with people. And then when he was young, he actually attends church, and he was very devoted, a pious young man, joining the church, worshiping. And then he has a girlfriend at church. They're going really well. But then this other guy, obviously a bad guy, and so this bad guy framed him, stealing things from a church deacon. So he put this money into his pocket. So the church thought that he is the guy who stole the money from the church deacon, and then he was kicked out of the church. So he feel really really offended, innocent. And then, of course, and then he also at the same time lost his girlfriend to this bad guy. And then he his heart was broken. I mean, he was as a good churchgoer, so he left the city, doesn't want to see any people, talk to anybody. So he moved to the countryside, live in a small house by himself, and then he'll continue to make a living by weaving. And he doesn't want to connect with any people, and then he live in his little world. But because he worked very hard, he worked hard for 15 years, so he accumulated a lot of gold coins. He probably is a very good weaver, so the people like to buy her products. And then all he has, all his enjoyment in life is every night he will take out all the gold coins, and then he would count the gold coins. So all his life focus is in counting gold coins, counting money. So took this from the book. He seemed to weave like the spider from pure impulse without reflection. So just keep working each day and accumulating wealth. And we sometimes like that. Tomorrow we all go back to work. We work, we wait for our paycheck, we work, wait for our paycheck until we retire. The goal had kept his thoughts in an ever-repeated circle leading to nothing beyond itself. The goal had asked that he should sit weaving longer and longer, deafened and binded more and more to all things except the monotony of his loom and the repetition of his web. This describes very well people in Tyre. Also us. But we have to work, don't get me wrong. We have to work. But when the work becomes our end, and all our the end is just to make more money, accumulate more wealth, slowly we become like a spider making a web. So he lived a very, very unhappy life. He doesn't want to talk to anybody. When the kids want to play with him, he gets really mad. And he hide the coins, gold coins, under the floor. So every night he would take the gold coins out and count them. And that is the only pressure of his life. I don't know, some of us like that. Every morning we get up, every night we go to bed, we just open our accounts online and just see how much money I have from the stocks, from the GIC, from paychecks. And we just keep counting that and happy to see that it's growing. So his life is all about money. Until one day he left home, and one of his friends tried to visit him, and he wasn't home. So his friend somehow came to the house and wandering around, and then he found the money under the floor, and then he took the money and ran away. So when Silas came home, he was really shocked, panicked, and despair. And then he just go panic, and he went crazy. So he went to the bar, went to the town and asked people, what should I do? And people are very pity, feel very so the sympathy for him, but they can do nothing. So once again, this poor guy even fell deeper and deeper into this dark valley, and he feel really sad. And then evening he came home, and then he find a pot of gold, all these gold coins on the floor, and he becomes so excited, someone returned my gold. But as he looked carefully, as you look more carefully, these are not gold coins, it is the hair of a kid, blonde hair. So he picked up this child and ran out and find her mother, the child's mother, lying on the floor, and actually she's dead. So he found this baby. So he took the baby to town, but obviously no one wants the baby. So she decided to just to raise the baby, keep the baby. And then he gave the baby a name, Epi. And then this Epi totally changed his life. While he was working, he just tied a little cloth around the baby so that the baby is safe, playing on the floor next to him. And then because as the baby become a little girl, and he took her to a school, to church, to get her baptized. And then he learned how to raise up a child. And then because the child need to talk to people, communicate with people, and then he himself slowly reconnected with the community again. Slowly, he getting his life back. And then one day, one Sunday afternoon, a construction worker in the field find a dead body or a skeleton at the bottom of a pit, and they also find the gold coins next to this skeleton. And then this guy who stole the money from Silas actually fell off the cliff. So this story tells you not to steal money from people. So he fell off the cliff and then he died. All the gold coins next to him. So they find, they realize this Silas, gold coins. So this guy died. Don't even know why he died himself, right? At the bottom of the pit. So they returned the gold coins to Silas. Silas was happy, but then he said, "The money was taken away from me in time, and you see it's been kept till it was wanted." At the right time, the money returned. "It might have been better for me if it had been left to itself. It's brought me no joy as my child has brought me." The relationship totally changed. The loss of his wealth and the incoming of the child has turned his life around, given him a new life. Now he realized that the most important thing is about a relationship with human, with people. This money do him no good. And then the story did not end here. And then the biological father of this girl came back and with his wife. So the other, Eppie's mother, was this wealthy man's mistress. Now the biological father and his wife, a wealthy man, came and want to claim Eppie, the girl, back, saying that I am her biological father. I have lots of money, and she can come back to me, and she can live better off, much better off than living with you. You're poor, living in this old house. But the girl, Abid, decided to stay with Silas because she loves him, and this is her father. What a beautiful story. And what a beautiful story. This story, when I read this, this reminds us once again, yes, we need to work hard, but we need to work hard to make the money for the Lord. The money, our wealth, is for God. There's nothing wrong to make money. Actually, we have to work hard to make money so that we can use the money to glorify God, to support missions, to support ministries, to build more churches, to bring the gospel to more nations. Yeah, we have to work hard, but the money has to be for the Lord, not for yourself. And the most important, most valuable treasure that we have is relationship, and the relationship with Jesus Christ is the most imperishable treasure that we could ever have on the earth. We work hard, but let's make use the treasure to serve God, and our true satisfaction to have an abundant life, we have to be connected with Jesus. Let's put our focus on the right thing. Treasure is a means, not the end. Our end is to use the treasure to serve God. Only Jesus can give us an abundant, rich, wealthy life. Let's pray. Father God, help us, all of us, to learn from Tyle, learn from the story. Let us put our focus on you. You are the impressible treasure that we could ever have. Thank you for giving us earthly wealth, and let us use the earthly wealth to serve you, to bring glory to our Heavenly Father. We pray in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ.